book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You'll find that on page 854. 854. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may be somewhat, or have somewhat, to answer them which glory in appearance, or the word would be glory in face, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more, after the flesh, that is. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer, asking that the Lord would write his word upon our hearts. Our Father, today we come now to the ministry of thy truth. We pray that the Holy Ghost will still every heart and mind. I pray now, Lord, most earnestly, that the Holy Ghost will come to help me, give me strength, open my mind and heart, fill me with the Holy Spirit, I pray, that I might speak thy word clearly and faithfully so that no one would misunderstand. Lord, hear our prayer this day. Be with us now and strengthen our hearts. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to draw your attention today to verse 17 of chapter 5. Paul says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." It is a joy to hear repeated over and over again the change that has been experienced in the life of someone who has come in contact with Jesus Christ. Though there might be many different stories and the circumstances may be varied, and even the degree and the extent to which some have gone into the ways of the world, and they tell their story of how God has arrested them, they have been changed by His grace, and they've come to taste and see the goodness and the fullness of the salvation of Christ. There is a change that has taken place in them, and that once that change has happened, that person is never the same again. Could I ask you this morning, have you come into such an experience? Have you met the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know anything of what I am talking about today? And I know that many of you do. What I'm asking you this morning is, have you a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ? There is power in this gospel to make an individual a new creation, a new person, to transform a man from being hopelessly lost in sin, whose only outlook would be, and we have to say this solemnly and yet seriously, whose only outlook according to the Scripture would be a lost eternity, lost in hell forever and ever. My friend, I say this to you earnestly and gently this morning, and yet with fear from the Word of God, that if you find yourself this day outside of Jesus Christ, there is a certain and a sure destination for you. You have no hope in this life. You have no hope and no possibility of something that only represents in your mind maybe a dream, or that when it comes to the day of your death, God will not hold you accountable for your ways. We have read in this chapter already that every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. And if you do not have the knowledge of Christ and you've not been changed, well, my friend, you are going to give an account and answer for yourself before the Lord. We sang today already the words of that hymn, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart, my soul." There are many terms in the Bible that are given to describe what happens to a person when they meet the Lord. They've been made anew. They've been born again. They've been born from above or born from heaven. They've been regenerated. They are now just with God. There's a second beginning for them. Or, as it says in this verse, there is a new creation. A new creature has been formed. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. What it means to be a new creation. And first of all, could I say that this change is unquestionably the greatest need of mankind today. This change is the greatest need of the human heart today. One man's put it this way: the thing needed is not so much a new world as a new self. Not so much a change in outward surroundings as rather a change from within. For he said, the soul of all improvement is the improvement of the soul. And no change can count for much to a man save the change that changes the man himself. There has to be a change taking place from us in our own hearts. Society is constantly attempting to rehabilitate and to fix the criminal or the problem case. There are safe houses for abused women, most necessary. There are detention centers and halfway houses. There are detention homes for troubled youth. There are drug and alcoholic rehabilitation centers, and the list goes on and on, which only underlines to us that there's something that has to happen in the inside of a person that's more than just superficial, more than just what's on the outside. There has to be a change that takes place on the inside. New accommodations will not change the heart. Government housing programs that are provided for people in need are not going to change the heart. People who are living on the very streets of our city this day, they have been approached at times for housing or for coming in off the street, and their desire is often to stay on the street because they want a particular lifestyle or they want to have what they call an independence. But you know, as we think about the problem, it's not just isolated to huge cities. It's a universal issue. It's a far-reaching problem, for sin is the thing that has affected the heart of every single person, no matter where you are in this world. Sometimes the idea is that if you go to a far-off country where people are so-called not with the technologies of civilization, that there is a ready acceptance for the gospel. They are just waiting to receive this. One man who was a missionary at one time said when he had gone to the mission field with the idea of taking the gospel message there, there was so much preparation that had to be done, so much work that had to be done even before the gospel could be brought to them, because the language was different, the culture was different, so many different things. And so the work was done, working, investing of years to learn the language, the culture, and bring the message of Christ to the people, only to find that the people were not anxiously waiting to receive Christ and the gospel message. No, because in the depths of the heart of man, there is a rebellion. There is a resistance to the things of the Lord. There was not a desire to readily accept. Another man by the name of Paris Reedhead, he had a famous sermon. It's called 10 Shekels and a Shirt. Rather an unusual title. If you ever have an opportunity to listen to that sermon, I would encourage you to do so. He talks in that sermon on a situation that he came across when he went on mission trips and he went as a missionary to far-off countries. And after he had worked and labored, he was completely sidestepped or sidetracked by the confrontation of this truth that after he had done everything, the people that he was going to minister to, they were not interested in God at all, really. They were certainly not interested in the gospel, but what he said was this. He found them to be, and these are his words, monsters of iniquity, because they wanted their own way. They didn't want God at all. They only wanted themselves. And they wanted to fulfill their selfish desires. Is that unusual to us? That's the same way it is in this city of Toronto, in this city of Scarborough. It's exactly the same here in 2007 as it was 200 years ago in some far-off land. Because the heart of man needs to be changed. This is the greatest need that humanity has, to be changed from within. I wonder, my friend, have you understood anything of what that change is and what has to happen? It's so bizarre in our thinking because we often wonder or imagine that people who live apart from us, they're not quite so bad as the society where we're living in. But whether you're in a culture where they think that roasting a person and eating them is one thing, or whether you live in our society where a gang member shoots another gang member because something went wrong and their deal went bad, or there's some kind of a rift going on between them. You hear of these crimes going on every day. It's not circumstances. It's not the environment. It's not housing. It's not more that you can give. It's not a social problem. It's a heart problem. And it's the greatest need of the heart that it has to be changed. And my friend, Christ is the one who can come and change the life, change the heart. And it's available to everyone, for Christ gives out the gospel message. And the gospel message is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. The whosoever is a message that means everyone sitting here today. It means everyone who is listening through the internet today. Or wherever this word goes out this morning, it is a message for you, my friend. The invitation is open. Yes, the need is most certainly a universal one. And what warrant does a person have to come and to accept this change? What is the warrant? Some people might even wonder, well, if I have offended a holy God and I have sinned against Him, what right have I got to think that He will expect or receive me when I come to Him? Some may think, I have committed the unpardonable sin. I have sinned against the Holy Spirit, and there is no more salvation for me. I have transgressed God so deeply and for so long a time that He would not have mercy upon me. What warrant do you have to come and think that this change is open for you? Oh, my friend, the warrant is the word of the Lord. The warrant is the invitation that Christ has given. The warrant is to come and to rest upon the promise of God. Him that cometh to me, Christ said, I will in no wise cast out. That is the warrant the Lord has given in His own precious word. So it is a change that has to happen. It's the greatest need that mankind needs. And secondly, this change is only experienced in one way. What a message this is to speak. It's only experienced in one way. Would you look, please, back at our text in chapter 5 and verse 17? It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If any man be in Christ, that is the one way. That, my friend, is the message that we have to proclaim. Are you in Christ this morning? Do you have a relationship with Him? The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. It was a directive that Jesus said to him. It was a commandment. There's no other alternative. You must be born again. And what does being born again mean? It means a change. It means becoming a new creature. It means having a new heart. That's what it means to be born again. It is the word that Jesus Christ has given. The theme of this verse that we're looking at this morning is being made a new person, but at the heart of this newness, there is a relationship, a change that takes place in the human life and heart. And that relationship is the relationship that is going to be found in the Savior. It's not, my friend, a change of location. It's not a change of attitude. It's not a change of religion. It's not a change of church. That's not the answer. The answer is to come into a living relationship with Christ. To come into a union with Him. For Jesus said to His disciples in John 15, if a branch is removed from the vine, there is no life in the branch. A limb that is cut off from the tree is a dead limb. We must be in Christ. We must be in the vine, in the stalk and the trunk to have life flowing from the roots of the tree. Some people will think that this change is sort of like a personal reformation or the turning over of a new leaf. Some people think, well, my life has not been going so well and I've got a lot of problems. I'm going to have to initiate changes. Maybe I'll have to start going to AA. Maybe I'll have to start going to some classes to get my thinking rearranged, and then I'll be able to get my life sorted out. My friend, the heart of what you need is a change of the heart. And that change can only come by a relationship with the Lord. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And Peter declared at the day of Pentecost, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is only through Him. Ah, but the words of the Lord Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. This change that needs to be experienced in every one of us, there's only one way for it to take place. And you have to become in Christ. You need Him in your life. The Scripture makes it very clear that all of us, without exception, have been born in sin. And we are shaped in iniquity. There is no one that doeth good. My friend, the great hope of the gospel is that though we were born sinners, though each of us look into our own lives and have to admit that there are great difficulties and we've fallen so far short of the great standard of the Word of the Lord, but there is a remedy. And Christ Jesus has shed His own precious blood upon the cross of Calvary that you and I might understand the relationship that we have lost from long ago can be given to us, a relationship of being brought into Him. A change. And the only way that change will happen is when we are made anew. We need to be reconciled to God. It speaks about reconciliation here in this chapter. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What is He talking about here? He is talking about the fact that God must first be reconciled to you, for He has been the offended one. Our sin, we have broken His law. And He has said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And because we've offended the law of God, there has been a breach that has happened and there's a separation. God is holy and we are sinful. And therefore, how can that be patched up? How can we fix that? Well, you and I can't fix it. But God has taken His steps, graciously has taken steps to see that sinful man can be reconciled to Him. We can be joined back together again. How will this take place? It will take place because God made His only begotten Son to become sin for us. God made His only begotten Son to take our sin upon Him. And there was a great transfer that occurred whereby we in our sinfulness, our sin was transferred to Christ and His righteousness was transferred to us. What an exchange that was. We cannot understand it. It is the grace of God. It's unconditional grace. For there is nothing good in us that would merit or warrant such a thing. But God has done it. and He has reconciled us to Himself so that we can be reconciled to God. A great transaction has occurred. The Lord has granted to us that gift of salvation. And friend, I apply this to you again today. And I would say to you, the free offer of the gospel is open this morning. How will you respond to this offer? You will respond in one of two ways. You will either accept the word of God, or else into your heart you're saying, maybe, but not quite yet. And if you've chosen option two, you have really chosen the option of rejecting the Lord. My friend, you have a great need. You have a great need for a change. And there's only one way that this change can happen, and it's through a relationship with Christ. You need to be born again. And then finally, I want you to think about how this change will have the most profound impact. And we've talked already something about that, but look again at verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now look, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What old things are passed away? What is he talking about here in this verse? Is it the fact that you will lose your personality? No, it's not talking about that, because when a person is saved, they still maintain their personality. Will you lose your character? Well, we hope that the bad aspects of the character will most certainly be gone. But my friend, what is being talked about here? The old things passing away. The old aspects, the old nature, the old man, the old sinful ways, the old things that so grabbed us and held us by chains away from God. Those chains and fetters have been broken. Do you remember when the Lord went in His journey and He came to the Gadarenes? And there was legion. One man who was possessed with many, many devils. And they tried to keep the man clothed, and he would not have any clothes on himself. They tried to chain him, and he would break the chains away, and he ran like a madman through the tombs and terrorized the whole community. And when the Lord Jesus came, the man ran toward the Lord. And he said, I know who you are, Jesus Christ. Have you come to trouble us before the time? The devil speaking out of the man virtually? And the Lord rebuked the devils. There was a tremendous change in that man. For when those in the countryside came around to see what had happened, they saw this man, the madman, the naked madman, terrorizing people. He's now sitting down. Well, he never sat down before. He was possessed with the craziness. And he had his clothes on. And he was in his right mind. And he was listening to the Lord. And that, my friend, is a change that takes place in the heart. And I know you're thinking perhaps, well, I'm not a madman, I'm not crazy. But it's such a radical change that occurs in the life of a person where at one time you're going madly in your own direction. You're going madly away from God. When the Lord comes into the life, things change. And the impact that it has upon the life is so radical that you're made anew. And now you want to hear what the Lord has to say. You want to hear His Word. You want to sit at the feet of Christ. You want to look into His face. Because all things that have to do with the Lord now, they captivate you. And you want to know more of Him. And you want to have a greater love for Him. And you want to go with Him where He is. And to be with Him where He is. Old things are passed away. All things become new. There is such a profound change that coming into a relationship with Christ has on a person, the Bible calls it being a new creature, a new creation. It's brand new. One commentator said this, no matter what they have been before, whether moral or immoral, whether infidel or speculative believers, whether amiable or debased, sensual and polluted, if they come and become a true Christian, they all experience such a change as to make it proper to say that they are a new creation. We're made anew. In the New Testament, the word creature that we have in this verse, it properly means creation, and it's used when referring to the creation of the world and the universe. Now you can see how radical a change this is talking about. Here in this verse, it doesn't refer to the creation of the world, but it's the same word, and it's referring to such a change in the person, such a moral change, that's equivalent to what Ephesians 4 and 24 says, the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. A new man. A new creature. Such is the radical change that takes place in the heart of a man that is likened to this creation of the world. He can properly be called a new man because he has new views. He's got new motives. He's got new principles and new objectives and new purposes in life. You know what? It succeeded in the life of the Apostle Paul. He was Paul the persecutor. Paul the murderer of Christians. Paul the one who was so filled with a zeal for his religion, being a Jew, that he desired to stamp out the witness of Christianity completely. But Paul met the Lord. And things changed. He met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and his life was never the same again. Such a change that occurred in the apostle, he had a new light. The light shone upon his heart. And what was this new light? It was the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It was a new power. For he said, I can now do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There was new peace in his heart. A new joy. There was certainly a new hope. For who shall separate us, he said, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, he says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It worked in the life of the Apostle Paul. It worked in the man from the Gadarenes. It worked in the life of Martin Luther. It worked in the life of John Newton. It's worked in the life of many of you here. I thank God. He has changed my own heart and life. And so now I can say that I love the Lord and He is my Savior. And I believe that the same change that has taken place in so many here, the same change the Lord offers to you this day. It's the greatest need that you have. And there's only one way that that need will be met, and it's in Christ. And the change is so great that you're going to be called a new creation. Has the Lord been speaking to your heart today? Do you need to call out to Him? I can't save you. The church can't do anything for you to save you. This is a matter between you and the Lord. And right where you're seated now, you can call out to Him and say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And God will hear your prayer. And He will save your soul. Come, my friend, and do not delay, but call upon Him as Savior. We're going to close our service by singing a hymn.